My name is Daryl, and campus pastor out here at the Highlands, and get the chance to preach to y'all today, okay? And so Pastor Joe is getting some vacation time with the family, and so Cody is preaching over at Reardon, and I'm preaching here, get a little live preaching today, and so glad to be with y'all. Hey, Pastor Joe uses maps all the time, and he's really good at maps. And I know I've heard so many people say, I just love it when he tells us where we're at and where we're going, okay? I just wanted to start out with the map so you'll know where you're at today. Now, this is... it's the only map you're getting today, and so I thought we'd start out so make sure I knew you knew where you were, okay? And so... I'm going to be preaching from Acts chapter 15 today. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. If you don't have a Bible with you, on the back of the chairs, there are Bibles. You can just pull one out. It's the NIV, New International Version of the Bible. Can I tell you, I love the NIV. I've preached from it for years, and then we got off of it probably 10 years ago, and I always missed it. And so when he got here and you guys were using the NIV, I thought, yes! And so I dug out my old NIV, and it's so worn, I need to get a different one. I enjoy. Now, I don't have it on me because I can't read it without glasses, and so I print it out here. Okay, and so I am reading from the NIV on my notes, and so you all know, but you can read along with me. Acts chapter 15. Certain people came down from Judea to Antioch and were teaching the believers, unless you are circumcised according to the custom taught by Moses, you cannot be saved. That's what we're going to be talking about today. You cannot be saved unless you go back to the law. Let me pray for us. Father, I pray this morning that as we open up this chapter and talk through this in chapter 15, God, that we will see that we are saved by faith through grace alone in Jesus Christ. And God, I thank you for that. I thank you that you love us so much that you were willing to die for us even while we were still sinners. God, thank you. And God, we say thank you. And God, today, just speak through me. Let me be miserable. And God, your word always be held to be true. We're going to thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I mean, years ago, if you've been in a church for very long, you'll realize that churches go through little disputes and up and down stuff as you go through. We was in the same church for 30 years, and so we saw those issues come and go, and so there's no new things under the sun. That's what Solomon said all the way back in Ecclesiastes, nothing's new under the sun. And so we get things dressed up in new clothes, okay, but it's always the same issue down below. 2010, in our church, there came a movement called the Hebrews Movement. Anyone ever, Hebrew Roots, anybody ever remember hearing about the Hebrew Roots? You are so blessed, okay, that you haven't heard about them. They came into St. Louis, and they were really storming. The guy was very, very good speaker, great music. He would dress himself in priestly garb with the blue tassels, white priestly outfit, blue tassels, and he would tell all these young people that you can be born again, but unless you keep the law, you won't be enlightened, okay? And so our young people in the church were drawn into it, and we had some young lady, she was a real powerful leader, dragging people over to hear this guy about 45 miles away. They would drag him over to hear this guy preach, and you got to hear him. And finally, we called her in from the elders. We said, well, you got to talk to you. And so we brought her in, and she goes, well, there's really no need for this conversation because you elders have not been enlightened. You know, and so you just don't understand because you haven't, you know, kept the law and you're not enlightened. And so it's hard to have this conversation with you. And so finally I called the guy. Okay. I thought I'm just going to put an end to this. And so I called him and said, I want to meet you. So I drove about, I don't know, over to St. Louis to a mall. I said, I'll meet you there in the food court. Met him there. And I said, dude, I want you to leave our sheep alone, okay? Just leave them alone. And I don't know how you can skip the book of Galatians, because the book of Galatians addresses what you're saying right now. The book of Acts addresses what you're saying right now. The book of Colossians addresses what you're saying right now. And we don't have to go back to the law. Leave them alone. And so God was with me. I didn't lose my temper, okay? I was in public, and so I better not, right? And so a couple weeks later, we get a phone call, and the guy has went to jail, and he ends up in prison because he was fleecing his own sheep of their money, okay? I would have said, thank you, God, okay, right? But I pray for him that prison ministry will help him find Christ, right? Amen. Amen. They're dealing with that right here in the book of Acts, chapter 15. Certain people, I want to read it again, came down from Judea to Antioch, were teaching the believers, unless you are circumcised according to the custom taught by Moses, you cannot be saved. Well, Satan comes in and he is trying to confuse the church, because when the church is confused, when people start arguing within themselves, and churches, we get there, okay? When we start arguing with them, it divides. When Satan adds something to the gospel, it divides the church. It's been about 2 decades now since the beginning of the church. A couple of weeks ago, Pastor Joe told you that it was 10 years in chapter 10. It's about 2 decades now into after Pentecost, the church has been started. And so these new believers still are very confused. This brought, verse 2, Paul and Barnabas into a sharp dispute and debate with them. So Paul and Barnabas were appointed, along with some of the other believers, to go up to Jerusalem to see the apostles and elders about this question. And so it says it was a sharp dispute. That didn't mean a little argument, okay? This is a sharp dispute. This is, you are sleeping on the couch tonight, honey, fight. Okay, that's how big a fight it is. We're not dealing with this, right? It is a big dispute. Verse 3, the church sent them on their way, and they traveled through Phoenicia, Samaria, and they told how the Gentiles had been converted. Well, this news made all the believers very glad. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders, to whom they reported everything God had done through them. They are so excited to see that the Gentiles have come to Christ, and the Holy Spirit was moving through the Gentiles, and people were amazed that God was at work. That's what's happening. Verse 5. Then some of the believers, let me say that really slow there, believers, some of the believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees stood up and said, the Gentiles must be circumcised and required to keep the law of Moses. They were misinformed, but believers. You can be a believer in Christ. You can be born again and be misinformed. Did you know that? You can be born again and be misinformed. And they were Pharisees. Pharisees were the sect, the people who like to keep the law or try to keep the law. And they would heap the laws upon the laws. Here's what Jesus said about the Pharisees in chapter 23 of Matthew. He says, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth of your spices, okay? I don't know if you've ever been to a foreign country when the ladies go out and they gather all their little, you know, vegetables in, their little seeds and stuff that they come in. They bring them on a blanket. They put it out so it'll dry. And they have little bits of everything, okay? They don't have big, they're not selling it, you know, like growing it to sell, you know, commercially. He says, you tithe a little bit of your spices here and a little bit of your mint and a little bit of your dill. You're making sure that you get all these things right, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. But they were Christians. They were Christians. These Jewish Christians were in there and they're saying everybody else has got to be under the law. Verse 6. The apostles and the elders met to consider the question, and after much discussion, Peter got up and addressed them. Brothers, you know that some time ago, God made a choice among the Gentiles that the Gentiles might hear from my lips the message of the gospel and believe. Remember Simon Peter, just a few weeks ago we learned that God sent down this sheet from heaven and it had all these unclean things on it. He says, don't call anything unclean now, okay? Go and eat, okay, right? And this is Peter talking. God, who knows the heart, showed that he accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them just as he did us. He did not discriminate between us and them, but he purified their hearts by faith. What's that? He purified their hearts by faith. I want to make sure that's really clear this morning. Now then, why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of the Gentiles a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors had been able to bear? Peter is saying, friends, I mean, seriously, my Jewish friends, I mean, Peter was Jewish also, what are you doing? Our ancestors, I mean, think about it. All the way back when the Ten Commandments were given to Moses up on Mount Sinai, Moses comes down and all the Israelites are worshiping some golden calf, right? I mean, they're not following the law. And he said, think about it when Nehemiah was trying to put the walls back up for Jerusalem after the exile of the Babylonians. And he said, Nehemiah is trying to get all the mortar stuck back in these, you know, cracks of the rocks. And you guys are out worshiping everything under the sun. We could not keep the law. That's what he's saying, right? They couldn't. The Jews could not keep the law. Verse 11, no, we believe it's through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that we are saved just as they are. He says, no, we believe through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that we are saved just as they are. No, the Greek word for no, it means no. Isn't that good? There's your Greek lesson for today. It was a very firm no. We're crying out loud, okay? No, we can't go back to the law. And I love it that here he is. He's preaching and he's talking. I mean, this is Peter. And he says, we have been saved just like they were. I mean, you would think that he would say that, well, they got saved just like us. But no, he says, we were saved, the Jewish people, just like the Gentiles. I love that. Verse 12, the whole assembly became silent as they listened to Barnabas and Paul telling about the signs and wonders that God had done among the Gentiles through them. I want you to hear that. There's a dispute. And so here's Peter, he's standing up and he's preaching, he's telling about what God has done, and they all got quiet. I love it when we have leaders in the church who become quiet so we can listen. We need to listen. Sometimes we're thinking about the next thing I'm going to say if I'm in a conversation and we're having a dispute about some theological issue within the church. And the next thing you know is, and I'm thinking about what I'm going to say before he even gets done talking, and I don't even hear what he says. And he says, they got quiet and they listened to the teaching of Peter. I love it. They were filled with God's Holy Spirit. That's what it tells me, because they were teachable and they were listening. Leaders are teachable, and we listen is what we do. I tell people that sometimes that I disagree with myself. You ever disagree with yourself? That you've been reading through scriptures and you thought this for all along, and all of a sudden you're like, holy smoke, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with me, okay? That if I disagree with myself sometimes, that why would we not think that we don't disagree with each other? I could put you, any of you, pick out two of you, okay, even if you're twins, and I could stick them in a room and give them a Bible and tell them to start having a conversation about what you believe, and I guarantee, even if they were raised up in the same house, same church, they would come to different thoughts on something, right? We disagree sometimes even with ourselves. I was asking Pastor Cody, who was having a conversation, talking about our sermons, about what we were preaching on today. And I said, what do you think R.C. Sproul thinks about the end times? I go, what position does he take? And he said, well, he's premillennial. And so I said, yes, he was. But later on in life, he even wrote a book that he became partial praetors. Did you know that? And he goes, I did not know that. And even Hank Hanegraaff, you know, when you hear the Bible answer, man, on, we all listen to Hank, and I know they all have funky things now. But he changed his mind on things, right? Is because leaders and people who are digging into God's word, okay, we say, I think I can change my mind sometimes because I'm teachable and I can learn something. And then we have this, James in chapter 13 or verse 13, James, the half-brother of Jesus, the half-brother of Jesus, the one who wrote the book of James. James, the pastor of Jerusalem, okay? I mean, he was the pastor, okay? The head pastor, anyway, of Jerusalem, most think. James stands up and says, or maybe he sits down. Sometimes when the Jewish people would teach, everybody else would stand up and the teacher would sit down. I think that'd be pretty awesome, have you guys all stand up and would... Just kidding. Verse 13, brothers, he said, listen to me. Simon, talking about Peter, okay? Simon has described to us how God first intervened to choose a people for his name from the Gentiles. The words of the prophets are in agreement with this, as it is written, after this, I will return and rebuild David's fallen tent. Its ruins I will rebuild. I will restore it, and the rest of mankind may seek the Lord. What is that? The rest of mankind may seek the Lord. I'd like to do a study one of these days and look back in Genesis, because there's a great passage in Genesis that when he's talking about the seed, okay, he was talking about all of us, okay? It wasn't just the Jewish people. He's talking about all of us all the way back in Genesis, all right? That the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who bear my name, even all the Gentiles, if you're not Jewish here today, you're a Gentile, right? May bear my name, says the Lord, who does these things, things known from a long time ago. Here's what James does. James, the pastor, stands up and he takes the scroll and he opens it up to Amos and he starts speaking from the word of God. When we as a church have a dispute among us, when we have a something that has divided us, we open up, we don't go back and say, what did so-and-so say about that? What did so-and-so say about that? We open up the Bible and say, what does God say about that? Amen? What does God say about that? We were at my wife's house on Christmas a few years ago, back when I was younger, a dispute rose up in the living room. I was in the kitchen. I like to go to the kitchen. I like to cut the turkey, cut the ham, help out the ladies in the kitchen, and so I'm in the kitchen helping out. And in the front room, there's a religious debate going on. My one brother-in-law started it on purpose to get everybody else arguing, okay? And so... finally, they say, Daryl, can you come in and referee this? And so I'm thinking, oh, crying out loud. So I grabbed the Bible, grabbed my father-in-law's Bible, head to the front room, and they say, nope, can't bring the Bible in this. I said, you're having a religious debate in the front room, and you don't want to hear what God's word says about that. Nope, you can't bring it in here. So I put the Bible down on the coffee table, went back to the kitchen. I'm not going to argue with people without the Bible. I'm not going to try and say so-and-so and so-and-so and try to get this back and forth. I want to go to God's word. That's what James says, goes to God's word and says, here's what God's word says about the Gentiles coming in. I love that. Verse 19. It is my judgment, therefore, that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. Let's not make it difficult. Satan, he wants to come. I named my sermon. I usually don't name sermons, okay? Satan adds to divide. Satan wants to add to the gospel so it divides the church. And so that's what he's doing here. He wants to come in and say, hey, they're going to be circumcised, and it's going to divide the church. Satan comes in and he adds something to God's word so that the church will argue it over and they'll get upset and divide. And the community out here, when the church divides, is just going, really, church, can you not get along, right? And so Satan, he wins every time he does that, Satan. But when we take a look at God's word together, okay, And when we study it out, okay, there's a big, long $50 word called soteriology. Soteriology is we study the doctrine of the Bible, okay? And so we're going to study the doctrine of salvation. I just want to take a look at that today and see what God's word says about that. Last week, Pastor Joe was preaching, and he started out with Romans 3:23. Romans 3:23 is the start of the Romans road. And it says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." For all have sinned. I'm going to tell you today, you're a sinner. Amen? You have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Do you get that? If you don't know that you're a sinner, you're never going to be saved. Okay? I'll tell you, we've got to get them lost before we get them found. And so we are sinners. It's what the Bible says. We are sinned against God. Okay? We are sinners. We had a lady in our life group back home years ago. She was an older lady, and we're talking about sin, and she goes, "I have not sinned for years." And I said, "You just did. You just told a lie." And she just looked at me, and she goes, "I think you have not had a bad thought." Jesus said, "If you thought that, same thing as doing it." So you have not. I mean, seriously, someone cut you off on the road, and you haven't thought, "I'd like to just..." You know, of course, we're all sinners. I hope you understand that. Yes. Number two, 6:23. This is called the Roman road. "For the wages of sin is death." What's that? The wages of my sin is death. And you're saying, "But I didn't die." Well, neither did Adam and Eve when they got set outside the garden. When we sinned, we got separated from God. That's what death means. We got separated from God. My sin separates me from God. Now, if you don't become born again before you die, you will be separated from God for eternity. That's what the Bible says. It's very clear on that. "The wages of my sin is death." And I love the big word, but "the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." The gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm so thankful for that. Number three, Romans 5:8. "But God demonstrates his love for this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." That no matter how bad you are, I don't know how good you are either, it doesn't matter. How bad or good you are, you can't make God love you anymore. If you are a Christian trying to make God love you more, you are trying your hardest for nothing, because God loves you perfectly. He is love. God's love is perfect. If you are a wretched sinner, okay, that has never repented, and you're saying, "I've done things that there's no way that God could forgive me for," I want you to get this. God loves you exactly like he loves a very perfect person. Who can't be perfect, right? He loves us all the same. God's love is perfect in this. Number four, there's a response that he asks us to do. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. If, it's called a qualifier, okay? If, right? "If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." What's that? Yeah, I'm saved by faith here. "For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved." Faith, okay, I profess it with my mouth that I am saved. And he's treating me now just as if I'd never sinned. That's how we remember justified. Just as if I had never sinned. God looks at me. So when he's looking at me, if I get to heaven, or when I get to heaven, I'm not saying if, I'm going, okay? When I get to heaven and I'm standing up there ready to come in, Jesus is standing in front of me, and God looks and he sees Jesus only, and he doesn't see Daryl anymore, because I am covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so what he sees is Jesus. Amen? He sees him, and I am saved. And then the Romans road, I never understood quite Romans road, because Romans road is all through the Apostle Paul. And if I go back to 6, okay, I said 6:23, okay, but if I go back to the first of chapter 6, listen to what it says. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we've been united with him in a death like this, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. So by faith, okay, it has to be faith. By faith I am saved, faith through grace. So by faith I have been baptized into the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let's go back to Acts chapter 15. He says, don't go back to the law. These Christians were in Christ. Now the Jewish Christians, they wanted them to go back to the law. They wanted them to live under the Jewish law like them. And they're saying, hey, Christians, they're eating bacon at the church potluck, for crying out loud. And it's not fair, right? And so we want them to go back to the law. They wanted them to go into circumcision, and they wanted them to feel all the pain that they had to feel, pun intended, back to the law, right? And we see the Gentiles here are free in Christ. They don't have to go back to the law. Now, if you're Jewish and you want to keep those things, it's perfectly okay, as long as you're not trying to earn your salvation by them. You want to keep your tradition? It's like being Italian, you know? If you want to be an Italian, you got to think like this, okay? And so when you become a Christian, you don't have to stop at being Italian. You don't have to stop being a Jew if you become a Christian, okay? If you want to keep those things, fine. They're just not going to do you any good as far as being saved, right? Paul is addressing it. Chapter 2 in Colossians, verse 6, he says this. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in your faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow, deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all of the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. Okay, I'm not going to be enlightened if I keep the law, right? I have been brought to the fullness in him. He is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised. What's that? In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through the faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all of our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. It's crazy. A lot of people don't put those two things together. That all along in the Old Testament, that God was worried about the circumcision of the heart, not the circumcision of man. that there was circumcision of whole tribes. When do you remember when they went in and circumcised all the men? They said, if you want to come and marry our little girls, that you're going to all have to be circumcised first. And so they went in and circumcised them while they were still recovering. They slaughtered the whole bunch of them. There are people who have been circumcised that were not Jesus's or not God's, okay? He was looking for the circumcision of the heart. Paul says, we don't go back to the law. You are no longer ruled by the flesh. It was the working of God in the circumcision in the first place, and it is the working of God in the baptism. It's not something I do. Baptism is the working of God. When somebody asks me, you know, do I have to be baptized to be saved? I always tell them, you're just asking the wrong question. Okay, that's the wrong question. I take the big circle and I put faith, okay, write it in the middle of the circle, and I put the word faith in it. I said, what goes into my faith? You tell me, just go ahead and put it in there. And they all say, well, you got to believe, right? You got to believe. That's my faith part. And so I write believe in the circle. And then they say, well, you've got to repent. So you write repent inside the circle. And then they say, well, you've got to confess, because he says in here, you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Christ. You know, he goes, you got to put that in there. And then, I said, is that all? And then sometimes they'll say, yeah, I think that's it. I said, what are you going to do with baptism? Well, you can't put that in there because that would be a work. I said, wait a minute. You can't put baptism inside my faith because that would be a work. I go, what about me believing? I believe. Is that a work? I confess. Is that a work? I repent. Is that a work? And baptism is the only thing that I don't do to myself, right? Somebody else baptizes me, and you're telling me that that was work? And so let's put it outside the circle then. And so baptism is a work. Well, it can't be a work. I said, I'm with you. It's got to go back into faith, back inside the circle, right? It's got to go back inside there. Why? Because it's part of my faith act. I am saved by faith through grace in our Lord Jesus Christ, period. I can't add anything to it. And this passage in Colossians says, besides, it was a work, but it was the work of God. Just like in circumcision, he said that was the work of God through Jewish people all along. He goes, I was always going after the heart. That the baptism has got to be the work of God. It's got to be the work of God. So I know that I'm a sinner. I've heard the good news that Jesus Christ has died for me. I've repented of my sin. I've been buried with him in baptism. And you become a disciple who learns. Ready? Baptism does not save you. Can I say it again? Baptism doesn't save you. I know people who have been baptized that there is no way that they're in Jesus Christ. They are just wet sinners running around who got dipped by someone, maybe a parent, maybe by somebody else, but they are not in Christ, because when you are in Christ, Holy Spirit's living in you and he is pushing out sin of my life. That's the evidence of the Holy Spirit living in me, is I'm becoming more like Jesus. And I know people who have been born again, and you see the born again Holy Spirit living in them, who have not yet been baptized, okay? And I always ask the question, why in the world are they waiting? Did they not see that Jesus said, go into the world and to baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? And so cool, ready? And the apostles, when they heard Jesus say, go into the world and baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, they said, do I have to baptize though, Jesus? I mean, I know you said go into the world to make disciples, baptize it. I mean, do we really have to do that? Do you see the apostles sitting around talking about it? I think they said, yes, sir. I'll do exactly what you told me to do. Do you think they understood it completely? I don't think so. I don't think so. Baptism doesn't save me. Can I tell you where it started? And if you're brought up in the Catholic Church, this is nothing personal about the Catholic Church. Catholic Church, though, for years have told that holy water, and so when we have a baby, we've got to make sure that we get that baby baptized before, you know, it should die, because we want to make sure that baby is saved, right? And so we use the holy water to save that baby. If they really believe that water saved, if a regeneration, they would put the water inside a squirt gun, go down to the mall, and just start squirting people. you're in. Nothing you can do about it. You're in, right? That's what would happen. But they, I mean, seriously. And so the church has said, oh my land, we know that that's not true. And so we swing all the way over here and said, well, the baptism, if you want to get baptized, it's okay, right? And I'm thinking, our Lord Jesus Christ, before he left the earth, I think he told his disciples some of the most important things he wanted to tell them, okay? And he said, go into the world and baptize. And so how do we, I think we swing it back here. We get in the middle and say, what does it mean? It means that I'm being faithful to do what he's called me to do. If Jesus asked me to stand in the corner for an hour on my head, I would stand in the corner for an hour on my head. Why? I want to do what he called me to do. Do I think the baptism saves? No. But I believe that it's the expression that God has told us to follow through with, just like believing, just like repenting, just like confessing. I got to put it back in my faith act. I love that. J. Vernon McGee. Jay Vernon, how many know Jay Vernon McGee? Get on the Bible bus. You guys never listen to radio, okay? Yeah, wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning, you're gonna get on the Bible bus with Jay Vernon McGee. Jay Vernon McGee says that being baptized doesn't make you a Christian. I just don't know anybody who's a Christian who hadn't been baptized. I love Jay Vernon McGee. And I kind of agree with him. I believe that it's the act. Now, are we all going to agree on it? Absolutely not. In seminary, we had a Greek little handbook that we used from Dana Manley. I don't know if anyone ever heard of Dana Manley, but two guys, Baptists back in the 1950s, okay? They're the ones who put this in every seminary, I think, was using this little book for our Greek to start with. And these two men, okay, ready? Theologian, smart. I mean, they couldn't agree on this. Okay, I want you to get it. What does baptism really mean? Well, they couldn't agree on it. Okay, so you can read about both of them. You can look it up online. Read about both of them. Why? There's times we just aren't going to completely understand what happens, all the nuances of what happens when these things happen. Here's what's going to happen. When we get to heaven, okay, Jesus is going to, we're going to be sitting around the campfire. I love campfires. How many love just a fire in the backyard, okay? Invite pastor over and say, we're going to have a fire, and you don't have to feed us, but you can, okay? But invite us over and we'll sit out there, and that's what's going to be happening in heaven. We're going to be sitting around the campfire with Jesus. Jesus is going to say, Daryl. And then I'm going to say, yeah, Jesus, because come up here. And so I get up there and Jesus will go, tell the people how it really was, because you're the only one that got it right. Well, y'all think you got it right, don't you? I mean, we all do. We all think, I think I'm the only one who completely gets this right. And I want you to get it that you don't. And one of these days, we're going to see things clearly. And it's going to be when we die and we're with Jesus and we're completely his, you know, we're like, oh, it's going to be awesome. We'll understand things clearly. But right now, we don't. All we hear is this, okay, or this. But I really think it was meant here. I think we don't swing on the pendulum. And then this is, I love this. Here he is, he's teaching these people. And can you imagine, I mean, the controversy, the big debate? I mean, it's a fight going on. I mean, it's argument going on. And can you imagine, here he is, James, a smart pastor, says, here's the deal, verse 20. Instead, we should write to them, telling them to abstain from food polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from the meat of strangled animals, and from blood. For the law of Moses, it's been preached in every city, earliest times, and read in the synagogues on every Sabbath. What's that? Well, we're taking the gospel message out to the people who are the gospel, or the law has been preached for all these years in all these communities. And so Jews, do not heap the law on the Gentiles. Gentiles, quit having your BLTs at the church potluck Okay, that's what he's saying. You don't eat bacon in front of your fellow believers because it offends them. And so let's stay away from sexual immorality because there happening to be all the idols. They're bowing down to any idols just like the Jewish people were doing long ago. Stop having sexual immorality and let's get along as a church. Do you think they still had differences when the apostles left? I believe they did. But they were silent and said, I got it. For the sake of the body of Christ, we'll work together. Church, I believe that we're saved by faith alone, saved by faith alone and not our works. I want you to think about Noah. Noah is in the book, in the hall of faith in chapter 11 in Hebrews. And it says, by faith, Noah, when God told him that he was going to rain down, he's going to flood the earth, Noah sat back against a tree and put his feet up and just enjoyed saying, oh God, I love this, right? No, he says, by faith, Noah built the ark, right? By faith, Abraham. So Abraham heard that God told him to leave. I want you to leave Ur and I want you to head down where I'm going to make the promised land one of these days. And so Abraham put his feet up and said, we got it, God. It's good. I believe. And did nothing? No. Abraham went without even knowing where he was going. And by faith, we believe, we repent, we confess, and we're baptized by faith. We do what God's called us to do. And all we do is say, yes, sir. And when the church gets that, we'll quit arguing over the nuances of something called baptism like they were arguing back in Acts chapter 15. So, you're sitting online. Some of you have been baptized and the world couldn't tell you the difference between you and the wretched sinner because we're not living according to God's word. And so you need to repent and start living it out. Seriously, all of us. If people can't see the difference in you because of you've been saved, do you look just like the world? I start questioning what's going on because the evidence is Holy Spirit living is pushing out sin, right? Some of us have been born again and haven't been faithful in baptism. And some are sitting right here today in this auditorium. And somebody may have said, well, it's really not necessary. You can do it if you want to or whenever you want to. I don't get that because the scriptures is really clear. They just did, okay? And we'll figure out what exactly happens at that time, okay? But it's just part of your faith. Some of you haven't done that. And so I pray that you're sitting here today, that if you're not in Christ, that you'll get in Christ. So you'll come forward and say, you know, I need to do something. And if you haven't been baptized today, I pray you'll say, I need to follow through, Pastor. I just need to get it. And Father, I know, God, I know this is a age-old controversy within every church. And God, it got really confused, and God, over the years. And Father, God, I'm thankful that you gave us your word. And God, I'm thankful that we can't add to it or take anything from it. God, all I can do is read it. And Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit will take what we've read and apply to our hearts. God, thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for going to that cross for us. And Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit, we know that nobody can come to you unless your Holy Spirit draws them. Holy Spirit, please draw them. Just draw their hearts to you right now. And God, I pray that people would give their lives to you and be born again. God, thanks for letting us be here. And again, thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.